Good evening, everyone. I've been given the topic of example of suffering. And before I get into my topic tonight, I just want to say thank you for having me here. I've enjoyed being here and hearing lessons from Brother Johnny and Brother Art, as well as being able to speak to y'all. And so I'm glad to have been offered this invitation to be here and speak to y'all. So as I said, tonight we'll be looking at the idea of Jesus being our example when it comes to suffering. Jesus gave up a lot for us to even in coming down from heaven and taking on flesh. But beyond that, he lived a life of self-sacrifice, putting people's needs ahead of his own, and ultimately suffering a painful and humiliating death on the cross for our sins. Death on a cross is so painful, a word was created to relate to the level of pain and torture. The word excruciating means out of the cross. And it's a word that means very severe or agonizing. And you use that, if you use that for pain, it's excruciating pain, right? It's extremely severe. Ultimately, Jesus suffered to take the punishment for sins, but there's an earthly factor that led to his suffering. People hated him for the stand that he took. In John 15, 18 through 20, Jesus said, "If the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you." If we are properly serving Jesus, we will likely face some suffering because of it. If we are, because a Christian does not being a Christian does not mean that we're going to live a perfectly peaceful life free from suffering. In fact, we are likely to suffer because we are Christians. Jesus suffered much for us, and he left us the example to follow. Let's consider briefly tonight his example and how we can prepare ourselves to follow him in suffering. Let's begin in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 21 through 25. And I believe on Sunday morning, one of the brothers spoke on this. He might have mentioned this first. It might have been Art, or it might have been Johnny. But it's definitely where I wanted to start tonight in talking about the suffering here. So 1 Peter chapter 2, starting in verse 21. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving an example so that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. But by his wounds you have been healed. For you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. So Christ came to this earth, he lived, he suffered, and he died for us. And in doing so, he left us an example that we are to follow in his steps. We need to conform our lives to Christ's life. He left us many great examples to follow as we've been looking at throughout this week. When we are hated, we must not hate in return. When we are suffering, we must not utter threats. Think about Jesus when he was on the cross dying for our sins. He didn't attack people with his words on the cross. In fact, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Instead of uttering threats, we must entrust ourselves to God who judges righteously, like Jesus entrusted himself to the Father. Christ bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. Since he died for the purpose of freeing us from our sins, we need to follow his example and live an upright and holy life that is dedicated to following him, including following how he reacted to the suffering that he faced at the hands of unrighteous people. And since Jesus suffered much for us, we can expect to suffer also for his cause. We need to be willing to follow him completely, and if we do follow him completely, then we'll probably suffer at least to some degree. Since Jesus himself suffered, leaving us for that example, we too can expect suffering as we follow him. We have been healed by his wounds, so we need to follow his example and live the way he called us to live. Jesus lived the perfect life as an example to us and suffered a great deal of pain and agony so that we could be saved from our sins. The least we can do is obey Him and follow His most holy example. We were continually straying like sheep, but now we have returned to the shepherd and guardian of our souls, it said in verse 25. So let us stay close to God and not begin to stray. Let's not cause Him more pain by continuing to live a life that is filled with sin, and certainly not a life that rejects Him when people make it tough for us to follow Him. So let us be willing to follow Him completely, including into suffering. I want to look at Luke chapter 9, verses 23 through 27, as we begin to consider a little bit of what Jesus calls us to and how we can live up to this idea of suffering and following that example there. Luke 9, 23 through 27. And He said to all, "If anyone would come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow Me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for My sake will save it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? For whoever is ashamed of Me and My words, of him will the Son of Man be ashamed when He comes in His glory and the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. But I tell you truly, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God." So we must be willing to suffer for Jesus, taking up our crosses daily, as He says, and following Him. Trying to live godly lives in an ungodly world is not easy, as it will sometimes lead to ridicule and persecution. Paul warns us in 2 Timothy 3:12 that all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Even if we are blessed enough not to face persecution for following Jesus, we will still need to follow our calling to expend time and energy promoting the cause of Christ and confessing Him before men. Jesus asks, "What will a man give in exchange for his soul?" The implication being that nothing is worth exchanging for our soul. And so when tempted to be ashamed of Christ and deny Him before people in order to avoid discomfort or to avoid suffering, we ought to instead stand up for Christ boldly and not be ashamed of Him, not shrink back, but instead boldly proclaim Him as the Christ, the Son of the living God, the one that people need to follow in order to be saved from their sins. Jesus warns us that if we are ashamed of Him before people, He will be ashamed before His Father in heaven when we come before Him. Put in simpler terms, if we refuse to confess our faith in Jesus to others, then we will not be covered by His sacrifice, and we will hear those sad words, "Depart from Me, I never knew you." With all things, this may be something that early in our relationship we struggle with and have to grow more confident in over time. Even Peter found himself hesitant to confess his allegiance to Jesus when Jesus was being crucified. Remember, he denied Him three times when people asked him, don't you know this man? Aren't you one of His disciples? But then he repented of that and became a bold proclaimer of Jesus, even to the point of dying for the faith. And how do we go about following Jesus' example here? Jesus and His mission must come before all others, including self. We must be willing to sacrifice for Him if we want to follow Him. We must begin by denying self. This means putting aside our own desires and what we want, and instead doing what God calls us to do. Which is one of the most difficult things about being a disciple of Christ, is saying no to our will and yes to His will. From an early age, we learn to be selfish. As a baby, we constantly focus on having our needs and our desires met. And when we don't get those met, what do? Wah, wah, we cry until mama or dad come and give us the needs that we feel we have or the desires that we feel that we have, right? And we cry until we get what we need or want. The method behind getting what we want changes as we grow up, but nonetheless remains persistent. I may want my way, and I will do what it takes to get what I want. And if I don't want to do something, then I just won't do it. But you see, as Christians, We don't have that luxury to decide if I want to do something or not. We have to do what God calls us to do. Now, since we did not learn to be self-centered overnight, it took years and years of perfecting that art of getting what we want through crying or through manipulation or through whatever the case may be, we're not going to change our programming overnight either. An example is skiing. If you are used to water skiing, then you'll have a difficult time learning to snow ski because you are used to leaning backwards when you're water skiing, right? But what do you have to do when you're snow skiing? You have to lean forwards. It's the opposite kind of situation there. And you're so used to having that habit of leaning backwards, you're going to be in trouble when you try to ski until you manage to unlearn that habit and break that habit there. Just mentally understanding the concept isn't enough because that instinct is still there to lean back. It's not so easy to overcome. A wrong habit that has been formed is easy to fall into, even if you know you shouldn't be doing it. And the same is true with self-centeredness. We become so accustomed to being self-centered that we default to that programming so often. The hardest lesson for us to learn after many years is that it's not all about me, and this will take continued tuning to go counter to what we have been used to thinking. We need to continue to focus on denying ourselves. This idea can be further illustrated by the example of a piano that has been let to go out of tune for many, 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 many years. You have a piano tuner that comes in and tunes that thing. You can't then just expect for it to stay proper without more tuning coming in, right? It's been so used to being the wrong tune that it's going to want, that piano strings are going to want to change and go back to the way that they were. And so even though you may be able to get away with not tuning a piano for several months, once it's been tuned and kept proper and kept up for a while, when it's been used to being that wrong way, you're going to have that person come back weekly probably for a little while to continue to get it back to where it needs to be before you can get back to just a regular tuning for that piano. We need to deny ourselves daily because we've become used to being self-centered. Let's take a look now at another passage, Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, as we look at what it has to say about Jesus as our example to look to. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Hebrews 12, starting in verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Notice this now in verse 2, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. We need to fix our eyes on Jesus. He is the author and that is the founder and perfecter of our faith. Jesus both literally and figuratively wrote the book on faith. He has shown us through the life he lived on this earth what faith is. He did all that God gave him to do, even when it was difficult, even when it was scary. He was obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. He lived a perfect life, showing us it can be done. And now he offers to give us his perfect record if we give our lives over to him. Since Jesus is the one who wrote the book on faith and lived it out perfectly, we need to fix our eyes on him. Follow his example, live in a similar way that Christ lived, and seek his help in overcoming sin and doubt and fear along the way. We are not alone. We have Christ to help us. And he is the mediator of a new covenant and our high priest who understands what we're going through because he has been through it all. Jesus considered it joy to go to the cross. And I love this verse. It's not that he enjoyed going to the cross in itself. In fact, part of him dreaded it and sought for another way. But he considered all joy to suffer for us so that we could be saved from our sins. So we could have a relationship with the Father through him. So that we could receive the Holy Spirit. So we could overcome sin. So we could go to heaven. He endured it out of his great love for us and considered it joy because of what it would accomplish for us. And now he is sitting at the right hand of God, waiting for us to join him in heaven if we are faithful. Learn to count it all joy when we face various trials and are considered to be worthy to suffer for Christ, and keep our eyes fixed on the prize, our home in heaven for eternity with Jesus. Very quickly, verses 3 and 4 of Hebrews 12. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. When we are struggling to live our daily lives, we need to consider Jesus, consider all that he went through for us, and realize that what we are facing is not so bad when we think of what he went through. Sometimes we complain about the slightest inconvenience and we get a bad attitude. Whether it's a small thing or a big thing, what we go through in this world pales in comparison to what Jesus went through on the cross for us. So let us always try to face things with grace and peace like he did. Let us turn to Jesus for strength to endure troublesome times, keeping in mind what he endured. Also, when we face persecution because of our faith, we need to consider what Jesus went through and realize that what we are facing for him is not so bad as what he went through, and determined to bear our cross and endure whatever sufferings we are called to face in Christ's behalf. And don't shrink back from persecution, but instead be honored to suffer for the cause of Christ, and even be like the early followers in Acts 5, when we're called to suffer, let us go on rejoicing that we are considered worthy to suffer dishonor for his name and share in Christ's sufferings. Now, Jesus went to the cross and died for your sins. If there's anybody here tonight who isn't a Christian, it's so simple. All you need to do is give your life over to him by believing in him, repenting of your sins, confessing him as Lord and Savior, and by being immersed into water for the forgiveness of your sins. He did the heavy lifting by going to the cross and dying for our sins. And you can have your sins washed away if you'll be baptized into him this very night. And if there's anybody here today, as a Christian, you're struggling. Maybe you're struggling with sin. Maybe you're struggling with self-centeredness or some attitude that's not right. Whatever the case is, we are here for you to encourage you and to pray for you and to be there for you. And God stands ready to forgive us when we confess our sins to him. And so if you're a Christian in need of the prayers of the church, we give you the opportunity to come forward. And if you are not a Christian, but you're ready to become one, we also give you the chance to come to the front tonight and say, I'm ready to become a Christian. Whatever your need is, please come to the front as we stand, as we sing this song.